We're back on the Florida Roundup. I'm Tom Hudson on WLRN. Thanks again for listening this week. Our neighbors to the north continue dealing with Hurricane Matthew. As we're live here this Friday afternoon, he threatens to bring some major rainfall and a storm surge to the first coast, including the Jacksonville area. A wind gust of 107 miles per hour was clocked at Cape Canaveral as the storm's outer eyewall brushed the Space Coast. Now, Governor Rick Scott has been an almost constant presence at podiums and microphones across the state for the past week. On Tuesday, for instance, he started with a briefing in Marathon in the Keys. By mid-afternoon, he was in Nassau County, just south of the Georgia state line. That was on Tuesday. Now, as Matthew came out of the Bahamas on Thursday morning and as local officials from Broward north into the Treasure Coast had issued voluntary and mandatory evacuations, the governor's warning to those ignoring the calls to leave was stark.
This surge by itself can be deadly, but on top of that, we're going to have waves on top of that. These are heights above ground. Waves will be crashing on your roof if you're right close to where the storm surges happen and you're close to where the waves are. Do not surf. Do not go on the beach. This will kill you.
The governor's blunt words were echoed on national media as well. This is anchor Shep Smith on the Fox News Channel Thursday afternoon.
Melbourne, Daytona Beach, all the way up to Jacksonville. This moves 20 miles to the west, and you and everyone you know are dead. All of you. Because you can't survive it. It's not possible unless you're very, very lucky. And your kids die too.
No doubt that Matthew is still a major storm today, and he presented a major threat to South Florida. He continues barreling through North Florida on his way to the Carolinas after all. So, did you hear these warnings? Are they necessary to get our attention? Is this so-called tough love responsible language to hear from leaders and national media? 800-743-WLRN, 800-743-9576. You can also send us a tweet at WLRN. Our David Paulison is up first, senior partner with Global Emergency Solutions. You perhaps know him best as Chief Paulison, former chief of fire in Miami-Dade County, EOC official, and the former leader of the Federal Emergency Management Agency after Hurricane Wilma 11 years ago. He is a resident here in South Florida. Chief Paulison, welcome back to WLRN.
Good to be back.
David, what did you make of the governor's dire warning saying this storm will kill you when talking to people who are thinking about surfing in the storm, for instance?
Well, you know, I know some people thought that was a little harsh, the governor was saying the right things. I mean, he had the political intestinal fortitude, I'll say, to stand up and tell people that this is a dangerous storm. I was pleased to see the politics taking out of the decision making in the storm, from the local elected officials, the mayor of Fort Lauderdale and Broward County, mayor of Day County, all the way up the state to the governor's office, regardless of party affiliation. Everybody had the same message. The governor said the right thing. If you're out there in this storm in an evacuation area or you're in a mobile home with this thing coming ashore, it can very easily cause bodily harm or kill you. I think the governor was purposely being very blunt. We didn't know the track of this storm exactly when we lucked out in South Florida.
Yeah.
It took just a jog to the north, I mean, just a hair to the north, to where we had little or no damage down here. But the rest of the state isn't being so lucky. If you look at what's happened in Daytona and now moving into Jacksonville.
Yeah, they face very serious storm surge threats in addition to the wind as the eyewall is beginning to just kind of hug and kiss the coastline. Let me bring in Mary Ellen Kloss, our colleague with our partner, the Miami Herald, who covers the governor.
And John, correct me if I'm...
She is in Tallahassee at our sister station, WFSU. Mary Ellen, has the governor or any governor of Florida, in your experience, spoken like that before, prior to a storm?
Actually, yes. I think that we definitely heard it in 2004 and 2005 when we were hit with so many hurricanes, and then Governor Jeb Bush was very blunt with his warnings. At this time, governors really straddle a fence as far as how far do they go and how firm do they sound with their warnings. On one hand, they don't want people to fear that they are crying wolf, and then when something isn't as bad as they had proclaimed it would be, then the next time around, maybe they let their guard down.
Right.
I think that's the difficulty here. And in this case, the governor had, this was a massive, it continues to be a monster storm. It looked like there was a possibility it could move further to the west, and that would have been enormously devastating all the way down to South Florida. So I think he was doing the right thing in warning people, and that's all this is. It is a warning, and he's telling people, be on the safe side.
Let me go to Steve Bosquet, who covers state government for the Tampa Bay Times. Steve, you're actually at the EOC in Jacksonville, as Jacksonville is bracing itself here on Friday afternoon for what could be a very significant storm surge in addition to the winds. Before I ask you your impression of Governor Scott's warning, how are conditions right now in Jacksonville for our friends and neighbors?
Well, you know, you can understand the governor's frustration. Thousands of people who live on the barrier islands in Jacksonville decided they could ride this thing out. And, of course, now it's too late for them to leave. And I'm watching the local independent news station here, WJXT, which is a 24-hour local news operation, and conditions are deteriorating rapidly in Jacksonville. This is going to be one very wet city. Storm surge is a major threat and a problem. The National Weather Service announced this morning that the actual category threat of the hurricane has diminished somewhat, but the people should not let their guard down. And boy, all this water that is just inundating this city has to go someplace. Yeah. And they're talking about the downtown being flooded.
Yeah, very serious situation. I know that our sister station in Jacksonville evacuated because it is so close to the waterfront there in downtown Jacksonville. Getting some comments regarding the dire warnings that have been voiced by Governor Scott, the comments via Twitter. We've got one from Curtis who writes, it's government's job to scare us, to act in danger, forecasters' job to provide objective info. He writes, forecasters kind of failed. Steve Bosquet, you've covered this governor since 2010. You've covered a lot of governors. How did his comments this week strike you?
Only the governor has a bully pulpit in a situation like this that he can command the attention of all 20 million people. So he has to communicate the danger that exists. This is the top elected official in the state being concerned about literally a life and death situation.
Yeah.
So as you've seen this thing jog a little bit to the east, away from the Florida peninsula, you know, there's going to be the usual post-mortem from people saying, see, mm-hmm. It really wasn't that bad after all. And that's going to be unfortunate because it's going to give people the rationalization to try to ride out the next one. And, I'm looking at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a consolidated city-county government with a strong mayor form of government, with a very alert local news media in this community, and they had a whole network of shelters open. I mean, they made it as convenient as possible for folks to go to a shelter here, in my judgment, as a resident of Tallahassee. So, one last point. Governor Scott knows the shoes, the footsteps that he's following in. Jeb Bush set the standard in this state under terrible circumstances in 04 and 05 with all those monstrous hurricanes that we had. And, the state is supposed to protect us, look out for us, but it's our responsibility to look out for ourselves as well.
Steve, stand on the line here. I want to bring back David Paulison, the former director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the federal agency that comes in after disasters. And he's certainly familiar with South Florida as the former chief of emergency operations in Miami-Dade County. And he was, David, you were with FEMA in the days and weeks after Hurricane Wilma there in 2005. Steve Bosquet's point about Governor Scott knowing how Governor Bush responded 11 years ago, we also have lessons about political actors perhaps not acting fast enough or not taking decisive enough action. And this, of course, comes right from that same season and the inaction that some have pointed to in regards to the leaders of New Orleans.
That's a very good example, Tom. We saw a mayor unwilling to make the right call, did not have the political wherewithal to stand up and call for an evacuation, and we saw a governor in the same boat, not even returning the calls of the president. So we ended up with between 12 and 15, 16,000 people in the Superdome, which should not have been there. That is not a shelter, not even a shelter last resort. 1,800 people died, should not have died. Shelters not identified, and even if they had shelters, this is a population that did not have transportation capabilities, so there was no public transportation set up to get them there. It was a total collapse, starting at the local level, going through the state, and you know, and also some of the federal government. Got to blame some of the leadership inside of FEMA for some of the issues there.
Which you inherited and addressed, certainly. I'm going to bring back to my colleague, Mary Ellen Klass. You were with the governor even this morning here on Friday morning during his briefing. He has continued to kind of ring this bell of concern. He has not let up, and arguably for good reason, as we just heard from Steve Bosquet in Jacksonville, right, Mary Ellen?
That's right. And he's in a difficult situation because those in South Florida have, you know, the skies are cleared,
right.
The debris is disappearing. And so things are life is returning. Power is starting to power outages are ending in a lot of South Florida. And the top half of the state, on the other hand, is being pummeled right now. And the rains are coming in. And so he's got the bully pulpit, but he's got different audiences and different missions. And that's a challenge.
Very challenging. One of those challenges was even communicating to folks in the Keys, in the lower Keys, which didn't experience Hurricane Matthew really at all. And that's where we'll start the phone calls in Key West, as Linda is checking in from our southernmost point. Linda, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. I want to say that politically, ideologically, I couldn't be more different than Governor Scott. However, I have been so impressed with how he's handled this. He's made sure that he put the safety of the citizens and the first responders above all else. And should we fare better in this storm than anticipated for the Monday morning quarterbackers, they clearly do not understand the meteorology of hurricanes, because there is no real predicting of their behavior. And I think he has probably saved a lot of lives. We probably will never know how many lives his cautionary words have saved.
Linda, we appreciate the impression there from sunny and blue sky Key West here throughout Hurricane Matthew days in Florida. This from Kane since 88. On Twitter, writing, they will complain if it doesn't come, and they will complain when it does. Quote, people are ridiculous. Let's go to Miami, line 5. Anna is on the air for the Florida Roundup. Anna, go ahead. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was watching the news all morning about this and was very impressed with how Broward's mayor handled the news and how Miami-Dade's mayor handled the news. I couldn't have been more horrified by how Rick Scott handled it. I had people calling me in a panic saying, what should we do? Should we leave Miami? My kids are crying. They think we're all going to die if we don't evacuate, because he didn't give any information. He just said, leave or you will die. And thankfully, WLRN and other stations were very responsible and said, no, if you're in Miami, stay where you are. Don't get on the roads. Don't clog it. Because what we forget is that people continue to have babies and heart attacks and other emergencies during things like a hurricane. So you don't want unnecessary drivers on a road. And also driving in hurricane or tropical storm conditions is dangerous. So I think for, you know, morons in Jacksonville who thought it would be fun to watch the hurricane come from the beach, yeah, maybe he helped them consider what they were supposed to do. But there are a lot more people in the state, and he needed to consider everybody.
Anna,
and he didn't.
We appreciate your impression there. I want to put that, Mary Ellen, back to you, of that threading that needle to specific audiences from that bully pulpit. And Steve Bosquet, I'll ask you the same question here in a second. You know, when the governor comes to the microphone and it is on the Florida Public Radio Emergency Network, it is on 9 public radio stations throughout the Sunshine State, in addition to television stations, talking to a lot of folks, not just the, you know, dozens of thousands of people that may be under an evacuation order.
Yes, that is true. And the governor kind of has to just be the generalist. What he did do in every one of his briefings, although he didn't enunciate it as probably as dramatically as he did when he said this could kill you, is he said each local community has its own decision makers, and they will decide who needs to be evacuated, and they will determine the evacuation routes. And that is the information. And as your caller mentioned, that Miami-Dade and Broward County leaders and mayors were out there telling people this is what our plan is. it doesn't all come from one place, and the governor has to sort of be the big picture, looking at the general information. Yeah. People do have to listen to their local leaders, though, for what they should do in their community.
Steve Bosquet, you're in an active engagement right now, joining us from the Emergency Operating Center in Jacksonville. Strike that balance between the general warning and concern and dire predictions that we heard from the governor, and maybe more specific on the ground granular details that that folks need to hear from local officials.
Well, that's right. That's why people should pay attention to their local news media. I think Mary Ellen made an excellent point, which is that Rick Scott is having to sort of use one megaphone to reach 10 different media markets in a gigantic state. The distance from Jacksonville to Miami is about 330 miles. That's about the same distance as it is from Boston, Massachusetts to Philadelphia. That goes through four or five, six states. And so you've got to understand that it's not a good thing to. He has to speak with one unified message that folks are going to understand. And if I could make one more point, this may be an unusual situation where Rick Scott is not a longtime resident of Florida. He's lived here continuously since 2003.
Yeah.
So but when he talked, as he did this week, when he talked about Hurricane Andrew in 1992, he spoke as a hospital executive having to move patients from hospital and moving patients at one point into a hospital that was in the path of Andrew. And so I think it's maybe there's a silver lining here that he does not underestimate the devastating potential for one of these storms.
David Paulson, I want to bring you back in the conversation, the former FEMA official, talking about the different stages, the different audiences that a political leader like a governor is going to have in moments of potential natural disaster and how they communicate those messages. You've worked on crafting those messages, I'm sure. So what is good guidance and what are some bad practices to avoid?
Thank you for asking that. It's you have to craft them very carefully. But see, when I listened to her, the governor, say that, the way I took it is he's telling people who are in the evacuation zones, people in mobile homes, people close to the coast, those are the ones who, if they did not evacuate, were going to have serious issues. And so maybe he could have been more articulate in laying that out. But I just automatically understood that. And maybe because of the position that I'm in and what I've been doing for a long time. Because he was absolutely right on target. Those people, if that storm had come ashore, and the poster child for a disaster in Florida is a massive Category 3, 4, 5 hurricane coming in the Dade-Broward line. And because that's a bulk of the population, huge population of the state is right there. And that's what it looked like was going to happen. And so those people in that evacuation zone and those people in mobile homes, which we know from history come apart, they just simply do not do well in these types of storms. So he was absolutely right on target. So, it's easy in hindsight to throw rocks, but I still firmly stand behind him and that he did the right thing. The governor stood up, Governor Bush did, and made the right call. But also his message now, in which you just heard about relying on the local officials to make those calls and make sure the shelters are ready, make sure there's transportation in place, make sure that the shelters are staffed, there's food and water and all those types of things are, that's a local issue.
Yeah.
And they've all done very well, by the way. Governor Jimenez, the mayor of the county, is a good friend of mine. The mayor of Broward County did a great job. Fort Lauderdale mayor. They've all done extremely well and made the right call. And I'm just very pleased with how the whole system came together and worked.
David Paulson is certainly a judge of this. Our David Paulson, Chief Paulson, former chief in Miami-Dade County, former EOC director and former director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. David, we appreciate your time and your assessment here. We're going to let you run. I want to take a couple of quick calls. We'll talk more about this here with Brian and Delray. Brian, go ahead. Your comments.
Yeah, I think the governor did a great job, although I don't agree with him politically. And people who think that he was too scary, think about how many dumb people are still sitting in Jacksonville by the water. So I guess he wasn't scary enough. But well, they didn't believe him.
We did see people surfing, after all, in Palm Beach County. We saw people in Juneau Beach surfing, as a matter of fact, despite governor's warning. Yeah, yeah.
So he's in a no-win situation. I'd much rather... Two safes better than two sorry.
Two safes better than two sorries. There you go, Brian. Well said from Delray Beach. Appreciate it. One more call. Miriam from Miami. Miriam, welcome to the Florida Roundup. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to mention I didn't have a problem with actually his word choice or the information he was conveying to everybody. My thing was his tone. I didn't find him to be feeling or giving any assurance or anything. He sounded nervous. He sounded like... he just wasn't sure of himself. He spoke very quickly and didn't feel like a leader should feel. Like, I'm in the hands of someone who, So I think that a lot of his messages may have been lost because of that delivery.
Appreciate you sharing that impression. Mary Ellen, you've covered Governor Scott like Steve Bosquet has as well. He is certainly not known as an eloquent public speaker.
No. And in fact, his first briefing earlier this week, he read. And he really came across, he misread it, he stumbled over even just reading it. He has a very difficult time in front of the microphone, but I have to say that this caller didn't like his tone, but honestly, he was comfortable with the information he was dealing with, and I think he showed that he was actually more comfortable than he normally is. And so that just shows that if he still didn't reach people, he's got a long way to go.
Yeah, I got to ask one other question, Steve Bosquet, and this one is to you. Governor Scott, you like you do and other journalists throughout the state of Florida, we get almost hourly emails from the governor's office regarding his schedule, and usually they're backdated schedules of things that he has already done. And, of course, the schedules over the past many, many days have been a lot of phone calls with a lot of EOC officials, a lot of county mayors, a lot of county sheriffs. But there was one piece on his schedule that came across late yesterday that he had a call with the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, last night regarding Matthew, well after the cone of concern had turned and the East Coast north of North Carolina was no longer a threat. What was behind that, do you think?
I don't know, except if I had to guess, it had to do with Chris Christie's handling of Superstorm Sandy. Hmm. Chris Christie... Remember, Chris Christie was vilified by Republicans for walking, hand in hand with President Obama on the beaches of New Jersey after the devastating damage that Sandy did to his state.
Yeah.
One of the articles of faith that you'll hear from every governor, every attorney general, is that, as soon as possible, as soon as the storm moves through, you as governor must be in the affected area, comforting people. The cynic would say that this is good politics and that Rick Scott has higher political ambitions, which we all think he does. But it's also, the governor is there to connect with the citizens of the state and to make sure they're okay and to at least demonstrate concern and an ongoing level of, compassion and wanting to return life back to normal.
Steve, we've got to leave it there. Steve Bosquet, yes. Take care of yourself and others while you're at the EOC in Jacksonville. Give Godspeed to our friends and family up in the First Coast. He's with the Tampa Bay Times. And Mary Ellen Klaus from our partner, the Miami Herald, with us from our partner station, WFSU. Thank you so much, Mary Ellen, for taking time out today. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Still to come on the program, do you have family in Haiti? What about Eastern Cuba or the Bahamas? 800-743-9576. What this storm left behind in the Caribbean. That is next.